come so fast, you won't come.
What? Okay, we're up to Perek Vav, Pasik Yud. Perek Vav, Pasik Yud. Perek Vav, Pasik Yud is the praise. Pasik Yud is the continuation of Pasik Tes. And Pasik Tes, the last two psukim, Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Tes, describe the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Even though there are 60 queens, and there are 80 pilakshim, and there are alamos ad in mispar, there are young women, young maidens, to no number, but yet Pasuk Tes said, Achas hi yoynasi samosi. Klal Yisrael is unique. Klal Yisrael as compared to a yoyna, dedication, tamosis, perfection, achasi li'ima, she is one to her mother, according to some of the commentators we learned yesterday, means that we are one to our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who raised and nurtured Klal Yisrael. We are unique to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ru'u vanos vayashua melochim melochais ufilakshim vayahaleluha. And all the nations of the world come to make that acknowledge our greatness. Now what do they say? Here Pasuk Yud now continues to express the praise that the Umay Sa'olam bestow upon Klal Yisrael when they recognize that we indeed are achas, we indeed are unique. And the praise begins, Pasuk Yud, Mi Zois HaNishkafo Kamo Shocha. Who is this one? This one refers to Klal Yisrael, who Nishkafo, who looks down, they're like the one who looks down like the Shocha, like the morning star. Okay, we'll see the one with a more precise translation, but basically the shacha means the very early of the morning where it just begins to get light. And then the light increases. It's yofa chalavana. A lavana is the moon, and the full moon provides light. It reflects the light of the sun, so there's a significant degree of light. Bara, and then there's even more light. It's clear kachamba like the sun. Ayuma, they're awesome, Kanid Golois, they're awesome like the Nid Golois, Kanigdolois, which is the Malachim and Shemaim, they're awesome. Okay, so we have over here four different expressions. There's Shachar, there is the Levana, there is the Chama, and then there is Ayuma. Four different metaphors are being used to describe the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's see the Mesudos Tavi Pasuk Yud Mizois Haloshein Hazeh Yoreh Al Inyan Shevach VeChashivus. This expression Mizois, who is like you? Who can be compared to you? Is an expression of Chashivus. V'chein Mi Milel Li Avraham. Who can speak about the greatness of Avraham Avinu? Same idea. When you say the word Mi is an expression of wonderment, of awe, of amazement, and it's being used here in this pasuk as an expression of praise. V'chein u'musav l'malo loymar kein hi akilus. This pasuk Yud has to be understood. Pasuk Yud is a continuation of pasuk Ches and pasuk Tes, as we just explained. And here we're coming loymar kein hi akil hoy akilus. The following is the praise shekol sua habanois hamulachos v'hapilakshim that has been expressed by the Molochos, the queens, and the Pilakshim, the Choy Amru, and here is now what they say. Ru'u mihi, look how great Klal Yisrael is. V'kamu gedola v'chashuvi hi zois asher mitchilo hoysa nishkofa v'nivra kezoya koychof ha-shachar. Now here we get into more of a detailed description. Look how great and significant is this nation, that in the beginning of its youth, in the beginning of its development, when Klal Yisrael first developed, when we left Mitzrayim, it would look down. It was comparable to the morning star. The morning star provides light. Nishkofa v'nira, it would cast down its light and it would appear kizoyhar, like the radiance, the shine of the koichav hashachar, the morning star. Ula acharzeh, At a later time in history, Nis also Ad Shanaseis Yofik Halavan, a Klai Yisrael developed further in its history, and they developed even more beauty. They became beautiful like the moon. The Achar Zehisifa Oibiyofi Ad Shanaseis Baruch Hachama, later in its development, it became even more beautiful and became clear like the sun. Loi kiderech shor hanoshim shenichash yofion kishahim as mizdaknes. Klal Yisrael is not like other women. It's not like a regular woman, human being. When as a woman gets older, her beauty wanes, her beauty decreases. But Klal Yisrael, as they matured, as they developed, they got older, their beauty only increased. How great is Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael throughout their history continuously perfects themselves, continuously adds more mitzvahs, more takonos, in order to safeguard the Torah, in order to be mahader in fulfilling the mitzvahs with more hidurim as Klal Yisrael matures and reaches the ultimate time of Mashiach. That's the mashal. We start off like a shachar, like the shachar, meaning the morning star as it shines down upon the world in the early morning, which is provides light, but the light is relatively minor. Then as Klal Yisrael matured, it provided more light, like the Levana, but the light of the Levana is nothing compared to the light of the sun, and later it's Bara Kachama, clear like the sun. Now what about the next part of the pasuk? Ayuma Kanid Kayuma awesome Kanid Golois. It's awesome like Nigdolos, Lefirov Hashivuso Umaloso, due to its great Hashivas, its importance, and Umaloso, and its unique character, Matelis Emo al Royeha, it casts fear upon those who see it. Kimoi de Golim Mimachmas Rabois, like the Golim, like battalions of many encampments, of many camps of war. Hamatilim Ema al Royehem, on those that see them. Vahanim Shul Huloi Mar Kolu Umois Enim Hafetzim La Hashrisa Ad Hatachlis. Kiilu Hoysa Hamoin Am Rav Milunde Milchama the Umo Saul Umo Saul. Now I don't really know what he means over here when he says over here Lahashisa Ad Hatachlis. Well, does that mean that he wanted to destroy us partially? What does it mean over here? The Klal Yisrael and the Umo Saul, when they see Klal Yisrael, they are afraid to destroy us Ad Hatachlis, a complete obliteration. What is he trying to imply in the Mitzudos David? They don't want to completely destroy us, but they want to destroy us partially? I can't possibly mean that. I think it's an expression. You just mean to hear is that due to the greatness of Klal Yisrael, the awe-inspiring impression that Klal Yisrael gives to the world, the Umma Solom are afraid to touch us. As if Klal Yisrael appears to the world as a mighty nation, a mighty army that the observer is frightened, wants to stay away from. Okay, before we go further, I just want to make a minute point. Over here we have four different things. We go mention the Midrash of Machol. Do you have this in your Sefer, this pasuk? Is it part of your Sefer, the Dal Malchias?
No.
Okay, next edition. Yeah? It's a very good Midrash over here on this pasuk. The four different things in this pasuk. There's the Shachar, there is the Levana. Okay, let's discuss it right now. In fact, before we do the Rashi, this Medrash is a very long Medrash in Shemos Rabbah. Perik Tesvav, Pasik Vav. Okay, let's discuss it right now. And the first thing, again, there are four things. There's the Shachar, the morning star. There is the Levana, the moon. There is the sun. And then there is Ayuma, it's Kanid Golois. We are awesome like an army made up of many different camps. The Shachar is the reference to Klal Yisrael's greatness in the time of Bavel, the first Golos. In Bavel, I'll read you the words of the Medrash. Mi zois hanishka kama shachar. Arba dvarm shal shavach yesh kan. I'm reading you the words of the Medrash. There are four different expressions of praise. Li shal kineged arba goliyois. She arba, sheba arba goliyos, sheomdu al yishol loy kofru v'akadosh baruch hu. In the four different goliyos, we were loyal to Hashem. Bagolus Bovel Minayin. How do we know that we were loyal to Hashem in Golus Bovel after the Churban Bayis Rishon? This pasuk, Mizois Hanishkafo Kmoi Shochar Nevuchadnezzar Hoye Mishtachavel Lashemesh Shenemar Eich Nefalta Mishamay Mehilel Ben Shochar. The word Shochar is a code word for the sun. Okay, it's a reference to the sun, but it's used in Yeshayahu, Perik Yud al Pasuk Yud Beis, as a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, who is the Melech of Bavel, he is the one that brought about Golus Bavel Klal Yisrael. He is called Ben Shochar.
He's a sun worshiper.
So Yeshayahu refers to him. Eich nafalt is mocking. Yeshaya is mocking Nebuchadnezzar. Eich nafalto mishamayim, Halel ben Shachar. How did you fall from heaven? Words, fall from your power. You who praised yourself to be the Ben Shachar, to be the son of the child of the sun, meaning you who declared yourself to be the power of the world. So being that the word Shachar is used in reference to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar represents the Golus of Bavel, and in this pasuk it says Hanishkafa, that Klal Yisrael, they look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kmoi Shachar. The Medrash loosely interprets this as referring to Klal Yisrael's devotion to Hashem in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, then we go to the next one is Yofa Kalavana. The Levana refers to Golus Modai. After Nebuchadnezzar came to an end, Parasu Modai, we call the Levana, because the Levana, the marriage is very elaborate, but let's just focus on one point. Esther was compared to the moon. Esther was beautiful like the moon. So the moon provides some light in a background of darkness. The entire sky is dark, but there's one item in the sky, the moon, that provides illumination to give us hope. The miracle of Purim took place in a time of darkness when we had no Beis Hamikdash. V'anochi haster aster panai bayom ha'hu. Hashem hid himself, it was dark. But yet in that darkness there was Esther, the miracle of Purim. The miracle of Purim took place in a time of Paras Umodai. That's the Levana. Shemesh. What is the sun referring to? Yavan. Klal Yisrael's devotion and loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the time of Yavan. Why? Because Sandirius im Oilius. Alexander ben Hachama. Alexander the Great. I'm not familiar with this. Yeah.
Sandirius Boletes Mechotekin de Yo Atzim. Almost like Sanhedrin. And Ulius is Shemesh. Yeah, that makes sense. Helios.
Okay, but the basic, we don't really come on to this. We just basically say is that, we know Chazal says that Yavon is Choshech. Bereishis Bolo Kimeser, V'aretz Hoysasovo, V'choshech Alpneas Sohoim, Choshech. Choshech. And what happened at the time of Choshech? The menorah, the whole miracle, the miracle of Chanukah is illumination. Illumination, not just a small amount of illumination with the moon, but a significant degree of illumination in the darkness of Yavan. The Torah, Kidner Mitzvah, the Torah, or everything about Chanukah points to the menorah, points to the koyach of studying Torah, which is the concept of light, of lichtigkeit. So this is compared to the sun. And then when it comes to the last one over here is the Ayuma Kanid Golois. What does this refer to? This is Edom. Edom is called Ayuma because Edom is a nation that is awesome. that inspires awe. That's a very mighty, fearsome nation, and yet we're able to survive. And in fact, threatening nation, and the Makar comes from Daniel, where we describe the four different animals that appeared in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and the fourth animal, Va'aruch Cheva Revia Dechila Ve'emsa V'Takifa, in the vision that Daniel, that Nebuchadnezzar had of the four different animals, the fourth animal was awesome, was very mighty and very terrifying. So they
identified what it is exactly, but it's something really fearsome.
A fearsome creature. So that refers to Ayuma Kanid Goloi. So this is a very beautiful medrash. It really fatayed the pasuk very, very well. And Michal, you're going to put this in your next edition? Okay, but it's a very, very beautiful medrash. The Shachar, it's the first pasuk. Yeshaya is Nebuchadnezzar. The Levana is Esther. The Sihara, Esther is compared to the moon. The Chama is the miracle of Yavon. The Choshech and the Or of the Ner Chanukah. And Ayuma Kanid Golois is the fourth creature in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the frightening, fearsome creature which represents the Golos of Edom. And all four of these Tkufis, Klal Yisrael, they maintain their loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the praise that the Umos Olam has for Klal Yisrael. The Umos Olam, they see Klal Yisrael in a difficult situation, yet they observe how they remain loyal, and they bestow upon Klal Yisrael this pasuk, this beautiful praise. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud or pasuk yud mizois. Okay, I have to go to a different print because my print here is rubbed out. Mizois hanishkafa k'moshal pasuk yud Rashi. Mizois hanishkafa alenu mimakoyim hagavoa l'namuch kruya hashkafa. Okay, to go up from a place of high to a place what's that word? Alinu mimakoyim hagavoa l'namuch kruya hashkafa. Mizos hanishkafa alenu. Mizos hanishkafa, who has looked down, alenu upon us. Alenu is part of the expression. Mizois hanishkafa alenu. Who is this that has looked down upon us?
That's what hashkafa is.
Hashkafa. It's looking down. It's what he explains. Mimokoyim hagavoa. And it's the word alenu is part of the Dibur Hamaschil. He's taking the word. We're taking the word alenu. We're connecting it to what it says in the pasuk. Mizois hanishkafa. Rashi is telling us that it's a mikra choser. It's a pasuk that has missing words. Very, very common in all the pasuk that we're learning. You have to add in words into the pasuk in order for the pasuk to make sense. What is the missing word in this pasuk? It's the word aleinu. Mizos hanishkafa aleinu. Mimakoyim hagavoa l'namuch. Looking down from a high place to a low place is always called hashkafa. Kach beis hamikdash gavoa mikol ho'aratzos. So to eretz the beis hamikdash is higher all of their aratzos. Kimay shachar. Hoylech umeir ma'at ma'at. Now here is different. Not what it says in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos translated the word shachar in reference to the morning star. That's not what he means over here. It means shachar means a gradual illumination.
It's not unrelated. It's like the Midrash
Ayelas Hashachar,
which comes gradually.
Well, that's not what the Mitzudos says. The Mitzudos says that it's the morning star. Look back in the Mitzudos.
It's not unrelated.
Right, but the Mitzudos focus Mizos Hanishkama Shachar. I know, but it's not how the according to the Mitzudos, we're referring to objects. Look back in the Mitzudos David. The morning star. According to the Mitzudos, we're discussing three different items: the morning star, the moon, the sun. And then Ayuma Kanid Golos, an object which means a battalion, an army. According to Rashi, no, that's not what it means, shachar. Shachar is not a star. Shachar means the rays of the sun, the gradual rays of the sun. It's a gradual process. So one more time. Originally, Zerubbabel, he was just a governor. He was not the melech. The geula sprouted gradually. It does not happen in one shot. He was pochas Yehuda. He was the governor of Yehuda. V'loy melech. V'hoyu mishubadim l'paras. And originally, Klal Yisrael, they were mishubadim. They were subordinate to the malchus of Paras. Uli Yavon to Paras, and then they were subordinate to Yavon. They didn't have autonomy until much later in their history. And then the Achar Kach Nitzachun Beis Chashmonoi. Obviously, Rashi is drawing from the same midrashim that the Targum is taken from. Ultimately, they broke forth from Yavon and they had autonomy for a period of time, not a long period of time, for a tkuf of time. Nitzachun, maybe it was 180 years. So is that, well, there are different interpretations of exactly how long they had autonomy, but it wasn't more than 180 years. They became kings. So therefore, he's telling us when it says Kemosh Shachar, he's telling us that Klal Yisrael, their greatness, their ascent to freedom, to autonomy, to a full-fledged malchus took place gradually, just like the dawn. Dawn comes gradually. Ayuma kanid golos, they're awesome, like an army. Ayuma bigi boy reha, they're awesome with their warriors. Kinid golois shel molochim, like flags of kings. Kol zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekaleis es Knesset Yisrael yofa ad reyasi kesirtza. Different interpretations. The Mitzudas was very clear. It means a battalion. But he's fatashing over here. He's telling us over here the word kinid golois does not mean a battalion. It means a... Kinid golois shel molochim. So what does that mean? It means a battalion of a king? A camp? Or a flag? Whatever it means the entourage. The entourage of a king, which is awesome. Called Zekon Shprochum Mikalis es Knesset Shol Yafa Ad Reyasi Kisirtsa Vicholinin Ad Khan. Now, according to what's a little bit difficult in this Rashi, I think it's difficult, but is that Rashi himself said in the end of Pasuk Tes, that the praise of Pasuk Yud is being said by who? Is being said by the Umois Ha'olam. And here, at the end of this Rashi, he appears to contradict himself, and he says, this praise is being given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, you go back to Pasuk Tes, the very end, where it says, Vayashrua Umahu Kilusha. What is your praise? Now the praise is being said by Reuv Anos Vayashua Molochis Vplagshin Vayalua Mizois Hanishkafa Aleinu Mimokem Magvulunamoch. Okay, then he goes on to explain over here with the praise, the previous pasuk, and here at the end of this pasuk he's saying over here, but really it's not really the praise of Yibos Olam, it's really the praise that has been given for Klal Yisrael by Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Zeh Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mekaleis Es Knesset Yisrael Yofa Ad Vayasi Kisirtza. You like Sirtza? Sirtza, we learned, it was either a location, it was a exotic city, or Kisirtza, we learned, it comes from the word Rotzoin. This is going back a couple of pasuk before. It means you are Yofa Kisirtza when you do Hashem's will. The Chol Inyan Ad Kan. Okay, now let's take a look at the Targum on this Pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Amaru Umayo. The nations of the world say to Klal Yisrael, referring back to the Melochois and the Pilakshim and the Na'arois, the Alamois, Kama Zev Sonin Evodei Amohadein. How Zev Son means, does it illuminate? Does it shine? Does it produce... Yeah. Ziv, splendor. How splendorous are the deeds? Evodei amohadein, kikritzta. Kikritzta means like the morning. Okay, it means like in the what does it mean? I guess shachar. Shachar means the morning. Just like in the morning, there's nothing like the rays of sun that appear in the morning. It's fresh. It's radiant. So too, the deeds of Klal Yisrael are similar to the rays of the morning. Next, Shapiron Uleimoho Kisihara. Their young women are beautiful like the moon. So notice he tells us that the word the Levana is a reference to Noshim. And then when it says uvirirun, why?
Because it's a softer
light. Makabel. Softer. Well, it's a makabel. It's a reflection. Uvirirun zochva soho kishimsha, and the young men are clear like the sun. So simply saying it's a new insight that we have the moon and the sun. The moon is the women, and the men are the men are the sun. Simply because the men are the noisein, and an isha is a mikabel. So the sun gives forth, and the moon reflects. Next, then it goes on. The aim soha al kol yosei, their fear, their awe is upon all of the inhabitants of the earth. Kizman, this is very interesting. Kizman da halichu arba'as tik sahal b'malbara, similar to the fear that they instilled upon the world at the time of the Degolim. Again, according to the Targum, the Targum is clearly describing over here the time of Hanukkah, the Chashmonoim. At the time of the Chashmonoim, Klal Yisrael, the entire world was afraid of Klal Yisrael, similar to the fear that the Umos Ha'olam had for Klal Yisrael at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, when they traveled in the Midbar, in encampments in the Degolim. So when it says over here, Ayumo Kanid Golois, it's not referring to the Malachim and Shemayim, it's not referring to camps of battalions, it's referring to us in a different time, the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, when we traveled in the Midbar in the Golem, and the Umos HaOlam were afraid of us. Again, this history has repeated itself in the time of the Chashmonoim, when we prevailed over the Yavanim, and the Umos HaOlam were afraid of us. Okay, before you go, first I want to make one point. One last point for the next pasuk is, we mentioned before about the four different things mentioned over here, the four different types of items: the shachar, the morning star, the moon, the sun, and then ayuma kanid golos. So we mentioned that this refers to the four different malchios. Okay, we went to the medrash, but I just want to make a point: is that there are four different types of light. For example, the analogy is Havdalah, Mitzvah Shabbos. We make four brachas. The first bracha we make is a Bo'i Pri HaGofen, and that is to the that is something which is sensed by the tongue. The tongue. You take wine, you put tongue down your throat. Next is Borei Minei Besamim. You go up to the nose. The mouth, the nose, then Bore Me'ore Ho'esh is the eyes, and then Havdalah Hamavu Ben Kodesh Lechol is Das. So if you ever forget which order you say the brachas, it's very easy to remember. You're always going from down up, going from the mouth to the nose, to the eyes, and to the head. Here we have four different things. The four different things represent four different senses. The first is Shachar. Shachar is time. Okay, there is the beginning of the day. The beginning of the day is a concept that relates to time. The levana, now shachar. Okay, the levana, the moon. Okay, it's also a marker of time. It's also a marker of time, but it's a time of 30-day time. The sun is a marker of time, a yearly cycle of time, and then ayuma kanigdolos, they're awesome like nigdolos. It's not. It represents a tkuf, a generation. A melech, a malchus. How long does a malchus last? Well, in world history, every generation, there's a changing of the guard. There's always a new king in town. So this also can be interpreted as a reference to four different tekufos of time. Klal Yisrael are beautiful in their observance of sanctifying Zaman. They sanctify the Shachar. Shachar is a daily reoccurrence. They sanctify the Levana. The Levana is a monthly period of time. They sanctify the sun, which is a yearly cycle. Ayuma Kanid Golos represents a king. They're awesome like the Batali, like Rashi says, Kanidolos Shal Malachim. A Melech is a generation. A melech typically lasts, how long is the malchus? It's not just 1 year. It represents a much more significant chunk of time.
What if it's a dynasty?
A dynasty, whatever the dynasty, but a dynasty is not forever. Nothing lasts forever. Every dynasty, every malchus, every government.
An overthrow also.
What?
It's based on an overthrow. It can last 2 weeks.
Okay, but generally a malchus is something which lasts for a couple of years. Okay, generally a malchus, a government, lasts for a significant period of time.
Otherwise, we would face, for example, shtaros.
Right, shtaros, very good. Shtaros, excellent idea. When you want to, you hit the nail on the head. When you want to date documents in ancient times, it was dated based upon the melech. What do you mean? Is this year, next year? Because you're assuming the melech's going to be around for a good 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So it's another way, not just dating the day, the month, the year. You want to date the tekufa. Ayuma kanidgalos, as Rashi says, kanidgalos shel melachim.
Do you know how old Ahasuerus' reign was?
Something like that, 14 years?
Is that considered normal? In terms of the
shot. I don't know, but it's at least it's more than a year. It's a variable that's more than a year. So the pasuk here is praising Klal Yisrael. The beauty of Klal Yisrael is the koyach to sanctify zeman. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Hashem is holy in Shemayim. He's holy in this world, and Hashem is holy. We sanctify Kadosh Baruch Hu in the concept of zeman. Four different madrigals of zeman. Okay, now there's another interesting thing I came across from. Rav Baruch Epstein in his Sefer Tosefes Bracha. I saw a quote from Tosefes Bracha, and he asked a very simple question. We know that the Rashi in Parshas Vayera tells us, "Vayashkifu al Sodom." Rashi there says every time it says the word hashkafa in Nikra, Rashi's words are in Nikra. It's always lara.
It's
always l'ra. It's always for no good. So the Tosefes Bracha, Baruch Hashem says, how could Rashi say that it's always l'ra? No, so that's the exception. Rashi says, that's the only exception. Kol hashkafa shebimikra is l'ra. And the reason why that's an exception, because there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mahapich. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, hashkafa really would be l'ra, it would be for evil, because we are not deserving, but because of our good deeds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mahapich, the midas hadin to midas harachamim. So Rabbi Baruch Epstein asked the question, but what do you mean in this pasuk here in Shir HaShirim, it says, Mizois hanishkafa kimoy shochar. And according to the simple interpretation, shkafa means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking down upon us. Well, we are looking down. Rashi says it refers to the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is Gavoya, is above all the highest mountain, or Klal Yisrael, in their exalted spiritual state, we are able to look down upon the world and bring bracha to we look down upon the world. Over here, this pasuk is being used as an expression of praise. It's not an expression of ra. So how then can Rashi say in Parshas Vayera, kol hashkafa shebamikra is l'ra, when seemingly this pasuk over here is the praise of Klal Yisrael is l'toiv? So he says something very interesting. He says, where did Rashi get this expression, kol hashkafa shebamikra l'ra? It's a Yerushalmi. The only thing is the Yerushalmi does not say in those words. It says, kol hashkafa shebetoira is l'ra, chutz, except for hashkifa mimo'in katshecha. Rashi mysteriously changed the word shebetoira to shebamikra. The word mikra has a more general expression of the entire Tanakh. But it would seem, Rabbi Hiddes is making this observation, Rabbi Baruch Epstein, that it would be more accurate if it would say, like it says in the Yerushalmi, shebetoira. Because indeed, in chanishe chum shetoira, every word hashkafa is always le. Ra chutz neashkifa mimon katshecha, but outside of chamishe chumshe Torah, when you want to go to Tanakh, specifically in the pasuk over here, and the pasuk over here in Shir Hashirim, then in Echanam, the word kanishkafa indeed is being used for good. Okay, let's now go to pasuk Yud Aleph. Hanishkafa, that's also l'ra.
Well, that's by Bilam.
Bilam, yeah. Okay, so he's looking down.
Saying, well, he's trying to. I know he's trying. He was saying things. I mean, he didn't mean to, but he
was trying to say. Okay. Oh, that's right.
Right.
Okay. Pasuk Yudalef. Elginas egoiz yiradeti liros bi behanochal. I've gone down, Hashem is speaking, I've gone down to the garden of the nuts. Liros to see Bibei HaNachal. Bibei means the streams, the source of water of the Nachal. Liros to see HaForcha HaGefen, Gesundheit, has the vine, has it blossomed. Heinetsu HaRimayinim, two different words which seemingly mean the same thing. Porcha means the flowers. Heinetsu is the blossoming, HaRimayinim of the pomegranates have begun to blossom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is making this statement. Let's see what this means in more detail in Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzudos David. Hashem says, I have gone down to Elginas Egoiz Yirati Gamze Midiri HaChoshuk. Hashem is speaking. Shomar, Hine, Kish Nifradati Mimena, when I departed from my beloved, Lo Halachti L'Chabek Chek Nochliya, I did not embrace the bosom of a strange woman. Aval Ga'ague Hoye Olech, I always thought about my Chashuka, Ula, my Isha, my first love. Aval Ga'ague Hoye Olech, Ula Hafek Ha'Ga'aguin, and in order L'Hafek, in order to loosen, in order to release the love that I had for her, Yoradati, I went in Elginas Egois L'tayel Sham, in order to get it off my mind, in order to some type of therapeutic technique, in order to release myself from the pain that I had missing my Chashuka, I went for a stroll in the Garden of Nuts L'tayel Sham L'kabul Reach Alei Hoilanos, in order to take some fresh air, to breathe in some fresh air that blows upon the trees. V'liros, and to take a look, but Smachim Hagedilim B'Sfas HaNachal, to look at the beautiful flowers and the beautiful growths along the edge of the Nachal. V'lahabit Impircha Imporcha Gafen Imgadlu Nitzei Harimonim, to see if the Geffen has begun to blossom, the vines have begun to blossom, if the pomegranates have begun to bud. What is this pasuk telling us according to the Mitzvah David? Af b'hiyosi kineses yishol b'goyla, when Klal Yishol was in Golos, loy b'charti b'am acher, I did not select, I did not replace them with another nation. Avul motzu anid b'ati kinesiyos subati midrashos l'kavu b'rotzan iske chidushe ha-toyra v'rinun ha-tzvila. So his attachment over here is that the word gefen is toyra, and rimayinim is tfila. Okay, Gefen and Rimayinim is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. He's just looking along in the Gina, in the Garden of the Nuts, to in order to take delight in our study of Torah, our Tefillah, waiting for the time when he will be reunited with us, when he will return to us.
Re-energized.
So this is referring to Golos. This Pasuk Yud Aleph is the Tkuf of Golos, and the Tkuf of Golos, Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I took a stroll, I miss you, I'm not going to abandon you, I'm not going to take another nation in your place, I will wait for you, and in the meantime, I will go down to the garden and look at the Ibei, I guess, the Nachal Hoy Kol Tzomei L'chulamayim. Water is always the mashal for Torah. So therefore, I'm going to go down to the stream of water to enjoy the fact that Klal Yisrael studies Torah, and the Gefen and the Rimayinim somehow refers to the koyach of tefillah. I will enjoy the tefillah. Now, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this pasuk use a nut? Ginas ho'egois. So there's a very beautiful var from the Sar Shalom of Bells, which I think it fits very well into what the Mitzudas here is saying. And he takes note of the following observation. On Rosh Hashanah, there is Jewish custom, you don't eat nuts. Why not? Because a nut, egois, is bigamatria chet. It's one off. It's one off. 18, and egois is 17. Okay, right? So this is...
They use chet all the time, it's 17, because they leave it without the Allah.
They leave it...
Because it's 18, really.
17.
Chet.
Chet is chet test Allah.
18 and egois is 17. So this is very common. This is a Shulchan Aruch.
So
gematrias can be one off. This is a gematria that goes back to my Bereishis. Okay, this is not a Hasidish gematria. This is a gematria that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Whatever it means, even though it's one off, chet is 18, egois is 17. Close enough. Egois with so either you can say chet without the aleph. Chet can be spelled without Ches Tes. You don't need to have the Aleph. So then we're down to 17. It's exactly Egois. Or if you want to have the Aleph and Chet, so Egois, every time you have a Gematria, you're allowed to be one off. Okay, so this is the classic. It's brought out, I think, in the Ramah. And Ramah, and there's a minug that on the night of Rosh Hashanah, Simon Emilsa, you don't eat nuts. Nuts are not to be eaten. There's another halacha in Shulchan Aruch. At the night of the Seder, okay, before there was something called Nafikoimen present, there was, you give, in order to keep the children awake, you are supposed to distribute nuts. Children enjoy nuts. You distribute nuts. So my high, how can it be these are two of the holiest days of the year? On Rosh Hashanah you don't have nuts. And on Pesach you're supposed to distribute nuts to the children in order to keep them awake. So the Sar Sholem Sholbel says it's the same nuts. Nuts are kosher to Pesach. Basically it says that on Rosh Hashanah put the nuts on the table. You put the nuts on the table, just make sure you don't eat it. And you save those nuts on the table of Rosh Hashanah, you save it a whole year for the night of the Seder, and then at the Seder you give those nuts to the children to eat. What's the pshat? Because Tishrei is the days of din. And in times of din, we do tshuva. We do tshuva miyira. And when you do tshuva miyira, then averos nase kishkogos. The sins become, we're not held accountable for the sins, but the sins are only in the category of a shkaga, an inadvertent avera. So we keep it on the table, we don't consume it, we're not responsible. But because of the tshuva we've done, it's nase kishkogos. But we come to Nisan, when we do tshuva me ahava, then there's averos anase kizuchuyos. They're added to our calculation. It becomes a merit, and then we eat it. So he says the same nuts. Rosh Hashanah, take your chatohim. Ego is begematria chait. It's a problem. Put it on the table, but don't eat it. To symbolize you're not responsible. The chatohim nase kishkogos, and save those nuts a whole year for Pesach to Nisan, the Lel Seder, when your averos and nasek is zuchuyos, and now you can give it to your children, and it becomes part of the merit. So here it's very fascinating. This part fits very well into this pasuk. Over here, this pasuk is referring to what? It's referring to golos according to the interpretation of the Mitzvah Sovet. Hashem says, "I'm frustrated. Klal Yisrael has sinned. I have removed my divine presence. So, and I, what am I going to do now? I can't go take another nation. So in the meantime, I'm going to go down to the Garden of Nuts and watch and wait, because it's exactly what golos is. Golos is chait." The only reason why we're in Golus is Chet. And the process of Golus is that we should take our Chatoim, and we should do Tshuva, and it should start out as Shkogos, and ultimately turn into Zuchuyos. So Mamela, the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he finds himself in Golus, is watching us handle our Egoizim, our nuts. Okay, that's, I think, fits very well into the Mesudah Sovet. Okay, one other thing which I don't have an answer to, maybe you can explain to me what the answer to this is, that this is an oxymoron is the right term here, but a garden is a place of vegetables. An egois is a fruit. What brought to make on fruits? You make bori priho eitz. So seemingly these two words don't go together. A place where you have trees where you grow, nuts is a paradise. It's a paradise of egoism, not a gina of egoism. So it doesn't. There's something over here that does not really. I don't have an answer. Doesn't really fit. On the other hand, you know, there's a Kabbalistic concept is that there are three different types of foods. There is vegetables. There is meat and fish. And according to Kabbalah, fish represents tzaddikim. You eat fish on Shabbos, Yom Tov. In fish are sparks of holiness of tzaddikim. In meat, it's neutral. There are sparks of nitzotzes of kedusha, which can go either way, which are parv. And then in vegetables, in this Kabbalah Svarim, it says are sparks of tumah. are sparks of neshamos of reshoim. And when a tzaddik eats a vegetable, you're basically giving misakin the neshamos of the reshoim. That's why the Gemara says a person kabbalah svarim. The Gemara says a person should not eat too many vegetables, because if you eat too many vegetables, you may be drawn after the vegetables. Instead of you taking the neshamos and the vegetables and being ma'aleh, they'll go and they'll take you down with them. So don't go too far. Fish, okay, fish is there, everyone knows this. Fish, this is the fish, tzaddikim are neskaldel and dogim. Meat is parif, something, whatever it is. So it's interesting over here, ego is bigamatria chait, sin. A garden is vegetables. And in the Sifrei Kabbalah, vegetables are associated with trouble, with also chait. So Kabbalistically, the pasuk makes a lot of sense. There's the garden of nuts, because nuts is chait, and gina is chait. But it doesn't answer the similar question. In L'chaira, it's not a garden, is a place of vegetables. Nuts are fruits. If it's a fruit, you have a different bracha. How then are these two going together? Obviously, there must be something over here very deep, which I don't know what it is. All right, now let's go take a look over here at the Rashi. Rashi says, L'ginas ego zirat. He's continuing over here. Oyd zem devi ashchina hine basi el mikdash sheni ze elecha. Hashem of Yisrael gone down to the garden of nuts. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is calling the bayis sheni. Hashem is calling the garden of nuts. A very interesting term to define the bayis sheni. Liros be the hanachal.
We're pretty talking about my shul.
It was built by a nut.
Okay, ginas for egos. It's a nice name for a shul. Think about that. Call a shul the ginas for egos. The base hakneses shul ginas for egos. Liros the ive hanacha. To take a look at the ive, the streams, the ma lachluches ma sim toivim ereb b'cha. To see the ive means the springs, the source of water that from where the nachal goes forth. And this means homiletically, according to Rashi, belachluchis maasim toivim erer b'chad, to see your good deeds, to see that if you are observing, you are being mekayim mitzvos in this location. Haparcha gefen, to see if the gefen has blossomed. Im tafrichu lefonai talmidei chachamim v'soifrim v'shainim, talmidei chachamim and scribes and people that study Torah. Heneitzo rimoinim mekayim mitzvos. Rashi and other Morei Chazal always tell us that a pomegranate refers to the Tayag mitzvos. That means people mekayim the mitzvos. Take a look. Mekayim mitzvos milei zuchuyos that are filled with merit. Lama nimshli shol egois. Now over here, Rashi is quoting some midrashim about the concept of he's going back now to what it means over here, the significance of calling egois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling Klaus over here the garden of nuts. Why? My egois is there. So there, you know, there are many, many midrashim. What is the significance of Klaus when we carry into a nut? Rashi over here is very selective, and that speaks volumes. Why did Rashi pick this particular midrash over a long list of midrashim describing the quality of nuts? Okay, but here he says, my on the outside, it's hard like a piece of wood. It does not appear to have any significance. And it's not noticeable. There's something of value that's buried inside. However, when you crack open the nut, you find piles and piles of food. It's period. Kachi Yisrael tznuim ve'an v'sonin ma'aseyem. Klal Yisrael, on the outside, you would never know. You look at a person, you can never tell what's doing on the inside of a person. The person walks in the street, looks like an average Joe. When you realize what a tzaddik this person is, he's an ezer ben olam haba, the merit that he has, the good deeds that he has done. The students of a person, it's not noticeable how many students he has. The ain misparim lahachriz al shivchan bedaktoy. What's the word of it? The ain misparim lahachriz al shivchan bid. What's that word over there? when you inspect it, but kosoi oisoi, but when you inspect it, maitzi oisoi mole chokhma, but when you inspect a person, you'll discover that it's full of chokhma. A person is like a nut. On the outside, it appears to be a piece of wood. But when you make an investigation, when you Google him, you will discover the person is full of mitzvahs. V'oid kama midrashos l'davar zeh, l'davar, there are also many other midrashos, ma ego is another example. There's another halacha, another concept, that when a nut falls in mud, so you pick it up and wash it off, crack it open, you can eat the food. It does not get dirty. The pnimius does not get dirty. Likewise, the pintle yid, there's always a spark of holiness that's buried deep down in the person that is not tarnished, and from that spark a person can rejuvenate. They go into exile, and yet they remain pure deep down inside. So to review, Rashi is quoting two midrashim. Hashem is going down to the garden of nuts. Hashem is calling Klal Yisrael nuts for two reasons. According to Rashi, two main reasons. A nut is something which is not, it's a tsanua. The essence of a nut is the meat of tsnius. On the outside, it's ugly, it's hard, it's plain, it's bland. You would never know that inside is a delicious, delicious edible fruit. The second meat is the outside can get dirty, can filthy dirty, but doesn't affect the fruit. The fruit remains perfectly clean on the inside. Even on the outside, it appears that we're affected, we're suffering yisurim, we're full of mud on the outside from the umos ha'olam, but the pnimius of Klal Yisrael is still pure and is intact. The famous Chazal say that a child, when does a child have das? It's a very profound Maimar Chazal. At what point in time do we say that a child already is a level where there's a degree of chinuch, already has some degree of intelligence? The Gemara says when you give a child, you put in front of him two things, a stone and a nut, a tsror and an egois. If the child has enough chachma to take the stone and throw it away, but to take the nut and put it in his pocket, that already shows the child has chachma. What's the mile? What is the significance of a child at that point in time? A child knows that inside there's something valuable. To a child, to someone who's not intelligent, a stone and a nut are identical. You have a stone, the two hard objects, what value do they both have? When you have enough intelligence to realize not everything in this world is the way it appears, there's something deep down inside, the stone has nothing inside, but the nut has food inside, that already is a degree of intelligence. Some children have more intelligence than adults. Okay, some adults, they only see the outside, they don't see the inside. This is a darg of intelligence, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu here is calling, comparing us to here, in this possibly two way negas. Okay, let's really hear the parish of the Targum, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Omar Mori Olma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here the Targum is saying the same thing as what the Rashi said. Lebeis Mikdash Tinyon, to the second base Hamikdash, the Ispinei al Yidohi de Koresh, that was built to the hands of Koresh, Ashrisi Shechinti, I am resting my divine presence. Lemechane Uvodin Tovin de Amit, to see the good deeds of my nation. So he's calling here the base Hamikdash called the Ginas Egois, Yeradity. It would appear from the Targum at face value, the reason why the Bayesheni is called a knot, the Ginas Egois, it's not a compliment. That it's not been built by Shlomo, it was not built by Moshe. A knot is something which is on the outside, is very bland and plain and has no value. It's a clip, it's hard, it's a hard shell. So to Koresh is not Jewish. So it's true that Koresh did accomplish something very, very good, but relative to the Kedusha of the Bayis Rishon and the Mishkan, which was completely good on the outside, on the inside, it was the Pnimius of the Bayis Hamidish was good. The Pnimius is the spirituality that came on the inside. But the exterior of the Bayis HaMikdash, the building, the construction, the Choymer, is like the outside of a nut. A nut on the inside is good, on the outside is hard, is bland, has no value. It's just a piece of wood. The Beis HaMikdash was built by the Umos HaOlam HaKoresh with his permission and with his money and under his leadership, which is the Umos HaOlam. It did produce spirituality for Klal Yisrael, which is the Ruchnis, which is represented in the fruit. Hordas also. Hordas at the very end of the Bayit Sheni. That was the tail end, the last 70 years. Also, Hordas wasn't Jewish. Hordas, so same thing. Okay, so Hashem says that. That's why we're calling over here, we're calling the Bayit Sheni, we're calling it the Ginas, the Garden of the Egois. To see Yirati Liros B'Ibe Hanochal. Ibe Hanochal, according to the parish of the Targum, means to see their good deeds. Next words of Rashi. And to see if they are fruitful, Poshon v'sagon means parim v'ravim, pru urvu, to see if Klal Yisrael, this time they are being fruitful in the study of Torah, Poshon v'sagon chakimaya, the wise men, if they're being fruitful in the study of Torah, dim silin l'gufna, the wise men are compared to a vine, v'liv l'vehoin molyon uvadin tavin, and to see if their lulavim are full of mitzvahs, their blossoms, the harimoinim, are if they're full of mitzvahs like pomegranates. Now notice over here that the Targum, both according to Targum, according to all three, according to the parish of the Mitzudos, according to Rashi, according to Targum, we're focusing over here on the study of Torah. And this is very consistent with everything we know about Chanukah. Chanukah, the miracle of Chanukah, ushered in the Tkufan Jewish history of where there was a ribui in the study of Torah. Until the miracle of Chanukah, we know there was study of Torah but we know that in the time of the Bayis Rishon, in the time of Chizkiyahu, there was no time where they studied Torah in the time of Chizkiyahu, but that was a Tkufa, but in the time of the Bayis Sheni, after that Tkufa, we don't find a ribui in the Chavivos of Torah. Until the time of Chanukah. Chanukah, the Ara Torah, is a new Tkufa, and that's consistent with what it says over here, according to all three of the commentators that we've learned, is that there's a focus, the Ibei HaNochal. Hashem says, now that I'm going down to the Bayis Sheni, and there's going to be the miracle of Chanukah in the Bayis Sheni, I want to have pleasure from the ribui of the Ibei HaNochal, Hoi Kol Tzomei L'chu L'mayim. Okay, let's finish up the last pasuk. That last pasuk, the art scroll says, is incomprehensible. Okay? That's what the art scroll Shiashirim says. It's incomprehensible to read civil interpretation, to read the words literally in this pasuk. Lo yodati, I don't know, comma.
That's what our scholars say.
Snavshi samasni, my neshama has set me. Markavos, the chariot, ami, my nation, Nodiv, who is a prince. Try to translate those words literally. It's just impossible to understand what this means. It has to be interpreted homiletically and in a much deeper oifen. Let's see the Mitzudas Tavit first, Pasuk Yibbeis. Lo Yodati. Now, he has a very nice approach, the Mitzudas Tavit, a very similar approach. Lo Yodati. Last Pasuk of this parak. First of all, you always have to ask the question, Shira Shirim, who is the speaker? That's always the first question. Who's talking? Is Hashem speaking? Is Klal Yisrael speaking? Are the Umay Soilam speaking? Those are normally the three. Those are the three. What's going on out there? Is something going on out there? Okay, there are three. There are three possible speakers. The Mitzudos is choosing the speaker here is Klal Yisrael. They are speaking. They are saying, "Lo yadati chazra hashukah l'son to complain and to say, 'V'loy mar hine oz lo yisamti libi l'das v'lizor b'chvoir hachashuk liftoyach loy hadelis miyad.'" We're going back to way back to what we learned before when the chashuk came and knocked on the door. Knocked on the door and begged, "Pischuli rayosi tamosi, open up the door for me." Unfortunately, she was complaining now again, "I was foolish, I did not know how to open up the door for my beloved." Vihine, navshi osisali lios marukovois, my neshama caused me to be a chariot, lahatin olai nidive om, to carry upon myself the benefit the benefit of the nations. Now, what does that mean? What, this is very bizarre. So he explains. Rotzuloymar liyois mishubedes v'nichnas aleihem, to be subordinate and to rely upon them. Chariot is something which a chariot is something you sit on. Meaning kiderech hayosheves Biduda Hayoshevis Biduda Vigalmuda, to sit in a state of isolation. Now what does this mean exactly? So let's read further. Fehanim shol huloimar, Shekneses Yisrael Tisoinin is complaining loimar, Loi somati libi meoz lotseis mi bovel kulonu yachar kasher tziva Hashem. When we built the Bayis Sheni, we failed to take advantage to return to Eretz Yisrael. We chose to remain in Golus. Only a very small percent made Aliyah to come to the Bayis Sheni. The vast majority of Klal Yisrael remained in Golus. We became subordinate. We became like we were riders in a chariot. We have no one to blame but ourselves for our poor decision of remaining in Golis, and that is why we became subordinate to the nations of the world. So let's review the pasuk inside. Lo yodati, Klal Yisrael is speaking, I did not know how to take advantage of a good situation. Navshi somasni, my neshama brought upon myself a tragedy. It brought somasni to upset. My own neshama brought upon myself a tragedy. What's the tragedy? The tragedy is Markivois Ami Nodif, that we made ourselves reliant upon the benefit, the generosity of a foreign nation. So Ami, it's not, take out the Yud, we'll see you in Rashi, make believe there is no Yud. Am Nodiv, read the word Ami Nodiv as if it says Am Nodiv, a generous nation. Who's the generous nation? The Umos HaOlam. At this point in time, during the Kuvud Bayis Sheni, it was first Modai, then it was Yavon, and then it was Edom. We became Marukivos, we became riders, free riders of the generosity of an Am Nodif, of a generous nation. And that's not a good thing, because eventually the benefits run out. And when the benefits run out, then they turn on us, and then force us to become, to serve them. So if we would have taken advantage at a time when we could return to Eretz Yisrael, to the Beis HaMikdash, we would have been free from the Umos HaOlam. But we became dependents. We got on all the programs. And once you get on the program, you can't get off. You can't get off. You get into a mindset, into a vicious mindset where you can't get off. And then when you can't get off, they own you. The Umos HaOlam own you. And they start telling you what to do. And they start running your life, making decisions. Right? Isn't this what communism is, or socialism all about? You become dependent upon the government. Then when the government wants you to do things for them, you have no choice because they're the ones that are providing you with your bread. So you become dependent upon the mother country. You have no independence. This is exactly the way the Mitzudas is learning. It's a very, very elaborate interpretation of this pasuk. And he's forced to say this because it's very hard to translate the pasuk. Lo yodati, I was a fool. I had an opportunity to return to Eretz Yisrael to be independent. We had Koresh gave us Rishus. I didn't know how to take advantage of the situation. And instead, I brought upon myself a dependence on a foreign nation. And even though in the beginning it wasn't so bad, because they were very kind to us, and they gave us freedom of religion, but ultimately, when things changed, it became a very bitter situation. Nafshi somasni, my own neshama brought upon myself the fact, I'm Markivos, I'm a rider, I'm now sitting in a chariot.
But you're not driving it. When you're a dependent,
I'm not driving it exactly. I became now Marikvos. I became a passenger. When Mitzvah says all alone, beduda digalmuda. I became a lonely passenger in a chariot of an Am Nodif, of a generous nation, of Yavon, first Paras, Moda, Yavon, Edom, and it's not good being a passenger on their train, because they can take the train wherever they want, and you have no say in this matter. So it turned into be a bitter galus because of my foolish lack of intelligence to know how to take advantage of a good situation. Very, very elaborate interpretation of the pasuk. That's what it says, right? I'm not trying to make this up. And okay, that's the mitzvah. We have to come to Rashi and the Targum. We'll do that in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.